to the sunlight of God's eternal love. I look away from the shadows, away from the darkness, to brighter things above. I'm living higher,
much higher,
higher on the mountain,
higher, much higher than I've been before. Drinking, I'm drinking from God's holy fountain. Flowing, it's flowing down forevermore. Valley, the valley, valley far below me. I am bound for realms, realms so high above, where I will live with Him forever. On the mountain of His everlasting love.
Shining ever brighter, they're calling me to come. Through heights of joy unimagined that wait just above me, to my eternal home. I'm living
higher, much higher,
higher on the mountain,
higher, much higher than I've been before. Drinking, I'm drinking from God's holy fountain. Flowing, it's flowing down forevermore. Valley, the valley, valley far below me. I am bound for realms, realms so high above, where I will live with Him forever. On the mountain of His everlasting love.
Higher on the mountain,
higher on the mountain,
higher,
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 higher, higher on the mountain.
I'm living higher on the mountain than I've ever been before.
Drinking from God's holy fountain,
from God's holy fountain, flowing.
Chapter 18 this morning. This is appropriate verses for the Lockwood singing here this morning. Genesis, you'll see why in just a minute. Genesis chapter 18 this morning. We're going to read verses 17 through 19. Good job, Lockwood family. Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19 this morning. If you're able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning? Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the testimony of the passage we just read. God, use it to help us today. Thank you for Father's Day and the fathers that have helped us in past years to be where we are today. God, do a work in our lives and our heart, everyone in this room and listening on the internet. And Father, I pray if there's some dad, especially this morning, that has never trusted Jesus Christ to save them from the penalty of their sin, I pray they'd do it this morning. I pray that for those listening on the internet and those in this room. Now bless our pastor. Use him, empower him for the task ahead. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, again, we remind you, as we always do, the beginning of the service, to make sure your cell phone is turned off, turned to vibrate. If you use it for your Bible, of course, you'll want to use that because we want to look in our Bibles a bit this morning. But other than that, please, hey, don't mess with your phone during church. God will drop you like third period French if you mess with your phone during church. Fathers are mentioned in the Bible more than mothers. I've often thought that was interesting. Mothers are mentioned 363 times in the Bible. Dads are mentioned 1,300 times in God's Word. Does that mean fathers are more important than mothers? No. But for some reason, God, and listen, look at me. For some reason, God has decided to choose the role of father in the family as one of his titles, one of his names. I know we live in a so-called politically correct society today where gender doesn't matter anymore, but God still cares. Men are still men. Women are still women. Men are supposed to stay men. Women are, well, never mind. But God has decided for some reason to take the role, the title of father as one of his own attributes. Here's Abraham. Now, if you know your context of scripture, the angels have come, two angels have come to tell Abraham that his nephew Lot is in a wicked city and God's going to destroy it. And in this particular passage, there's a little vignette here of the angels talking with God and saying, God saying, now, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do here? And looking in your Bible, he says, no. See, Abraham's going to become a great nation one day. Now look at me. He has no children. He would have, by Sarah, one son. And God said, but he's going to become a great nation. And then he says there, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed by this man. And then what does he talk about? His role as a father. Look in your Bibles there in Genesis again, please, this morning, if you would. Look there in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now notice this. Why? For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that's which is spoke. God talks about Abraham as a man who's going to, out of his lineage will come a great nation. That's the nation of Israel, by the way. And then he says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of that one man. And God says, here's why. Because I know him. And he's going to command his family. And he's going to command his household. And because of that, in other words, look at what God said to Abraham. Because he's going to be a father and fulfill the obligation of a father, this world is going to be blessed because of that one man. Do you understand something, dear people, this morning? The roles God has given us in life, whether it's a father or a mother, a husband or a wife, a child, a young person in their home, do you understand God's potential, what God can do with a person who will take what God has told them to be and do and fulfill that? The potential is amazing. Because there's one man with no children who's going to be the father of not just kids. He's going to be a father of a nation. And not only that, he said, but that one man, by being a husband and a father, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed because of that one man. What God saw in Abraham as a father, I want to challenge our men with today, our fathers. You say, well, good. I'm not a dad, so I don't have to worry about it. Well, number one, if you're a young man, someday you'll be a father, God willing. For some of you guys, you have to find a blind, idiot, and retarded woman who'll marry you, but you'll be you may be a father. So we don't train enough for the major roles of life. We really don't. I believe we do here. But we don't get enough training about that. Unfortunately, people pick it up from Hollywood or Disney or whatever else, and those are not the people to teach you. But now listen, not only do we need to glean a few thoughts from Abraham for us fellows and dads today, everybody does. Because here's why. You know why God looked at this man and said, this guy, something good is going to come out of his life? Because first of all, God saw the potential of Abraham and the influence of Abraham. Every father has potential. Every father does. These things that happen in our society where a person goes in and kills folks, and they say, one of the first things they look at is the family. Where do they come from? What kind of home did they have? What kind of house did they live in? What kind of parents did they have? That kind of stuff. It's always interesting. They get to that eventually. They'll eventually go. And unfortunately for a lot of these people who do things like that, there's a mom but not a dad on the picture. It's fascinating. If you do a study, there's a little study that's been done. If you do a study of people who are either serial killers, mass murderers, those kind of folks, almost all of them had very little influence of men in their lives. Because every man, every guy is a dad, has potential. Now look at me, Dad. You have potential that God sees in your life. Now I like to say that that potential will always be for good. It'll always be for right. It'll always be for what it ought to be. But the case of it is, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Guys, you have potential to be influencing others. And you already are. And so when you're meeting yesterday morning, I was telling them about my dad, as you know, he was a Baptist preacher, ran off with one of the women in the church. He'd been married 5 times in his life. But between the second and third wife, I think it was, we went to live with him in Southern California. And one day he came to me and he said, I want you to go to work with me. My boss is going to pay you. And I thought, yeah. I saw the paycheck. I didn't see the opportunity before that, but I saw the paycheck. No, I was always taught work was a good thing. And I go to work with him and he gave me a couple of simple tasks to do. One of them was coiling up some rope. And I coiled it up, and then he came by and he goes, you know what? That's good enough to be done, but not good enough to get paid for, son. Now let me show you what to do here. See, now for most people today, you'd have to have counseling after that. It would have destroyed your self-image and you could never function in life. All I learned was good is not good enough. And if you're going to get paid, you need to do it right. The other thing about father's statements that I thought was interesting was this. I read this one yesterday. This dad told his son, he said, son, if you do something and you get arrested and you wind up in jail, just know this. You're in a safer place than when I get my hands on you. I can assure you. Some dads kind of lay it down. You know what I'm saying? They just sort of have it put out there. Yeah, the potential of our influence, gentlemen. We are influencing people. It's not like, do I influence? You do. We either mold or scar our kids and the people of our lives. We either shape them or scar them, one or the other. We're either helping them to become better people and what they're supposed to be, or we're messing them up. So it's not my fault. That's a good excuse, isn't it? It's a lousy excuse. This man has no children, and God can see through him his life and the fact that Abraham would get one son, and then that son would, and from that would become a great nation, the nation of Israel. God saw what this man could do and become with his life. And he said, I'll tell you something about Abraham. He's going to become a great nation. And then he said, and he'll be a blessed man. Nations of the earth will be blessed from him. See, that's the wickedness of just living your life and doing what you want. Not caring whether or not you make a difference in anybody's life or do anything for anyone else but us. That's messed up. It's wrong. It's the kind of thinking that's deteriorating our society to the place of self-centered. People just don't care. Now look at me. husband or not, father or not, man, woman, or child, you, God sees your life and sees the potential of the life you have and the influence you could be in someone's life. So he sees Abraham, and look, what does he look at him and say? He says, I see Abraham there. And he says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Do you realize how many major religions in this world today honor and respect Abraham? Now, we're not pluralistic and all that kind of junk, but I'll tell you what, it's fascinating how that one guy with no children, thousands of years later, 4,500 years later almost, thousands of years later, his life, this man's life is and has affected many nations. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's probably not going to be me. I'm not well known. People don't know who I am. It doesn't make a difference. Nobody knew who Abraham was at this time. He's out in the middle of nowhere. You know what he's going to do? He's going to try to do his best to honor God with his life. You can't miss like that. You get it? What you miss is when you just go through life. We use the illustration often of a man named Methuselah in the Bible. Methuselah lived 969 years, and this is what we know about that man. He lived and he died. That's it. 969 years, and his entire life is two verses. Because he lived and he died. He had 969 years on this earth, and he lived and he died. Go to the graveyard and walk around, read tombstones sometime. Born, died. Beloved person, born, died, this. Born, died, that. You got to be kidding me. History is filled with people who just filled their lives with just living and dying, and that's all. But the potential of Abraham is not how smart he was. The potential of Abraham is not how good looking he was. The potential of Abraham was not how wealthy he was. The potential of Abraham was, God said, I know this guy. He is going to do what I ask him to do, and thereby he is going to be a blessed man in his life. Don't blow the potential God has for you. Well, I'm not. I'm doing what I want. I'm accomplishing what I want with my life. Yeah, that's about that deep. You understand? About that deep. We make heroes today out of people who are so shallow they could drown in a teardrop, but their whole life is themselves and how they live. What was it about Abraham that God saw? God saw the potential in his influence. You know what else God saw about Abraham? Look in your Bibles now, Genesis again. Look at it. And it says in verse number 19, for I know him. God said, I know him. Can you imagine that? God knew him. You know, there's two things to knowing somebody in life. You knowing them and you knowing them and they knowing you. Deep, huh? But here's the real one. God said, I know Abraham. And that means Abraham knew who God was. See, here's what we think. Well, I mean, I can get religion and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I'm not going to get crazy about this kind of thing. Let's get way past all that. Let's get to something that's really genuine. Do you know him? Apostle Paul did. He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul had come to the place in his life where he come to know God. And to get off the I believe God thing, that's ridiculous. Come on, the animals believe God. I mean, that has nothing to do with real life. Here's Abraham and God saying, but I know him. So, Dad, do you know him? Knowing God involves your salvation, that there's a day you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You accepted him and got saved. That's where it starts. But wait a minute, then after that, you know what? You have a Bible that tells you about God and what you need to know, what he wants you to know and do in your life, and you have a Bible to follow that, then is there anything real in your life with you and God? Where you know him. Years ago, we had a couple that came to our church, Lester and Louise. Some of you old settlers will remember them. They came to our church, they were in their late 80s. I got their visitor card and it said Lester Jackman and Louise Cooper. I saw that and I thought, old people shacking up. Man, I can't believe that. That's disgusting. So we went by to see him the next week and I was my typical self telling my wife, these old people are living together now. It's bad enough young people live together. It's old people living together. So I had my mind made up I was going to make some kind of a moral comment. So we're sitting in their house. They're sitting there, and I said, "So, Lester Louise, tell me about you." She goes, "This is my brother, Lester." "Lester, tell him your testimony." Brother Jackman, who was in the late 80s, said, "When I was a six-year-old boy, I walked the aisle of a Billy Sunday crusade, shook his hand, trusted Christ, and got saved. My legs were shortening up. They were dangling after the brother thing. Now it was about 6 inches between my feet and the floor. Then Louise reaches in her purse and pulls out a check, and she said, 'We sold our house, and we're moving here. We're going to join this church, Pastor. So here's our first check to give to our church, $5,000. I almost had to have a ladder to get off the chair. I mean, it was that bad. And my wife's just looking at me. Oh, no. See, what'd you do with the check? I cashed it. What do you think, man? I ain't stupid. Put it in the offering. Thank you very much. Lester Jackman never got married. Died when he was in his 90s. Oh, but that man knew God. I go visit with him. He'd say, Pastor, can we pray together? I said, yeah, Lester, go ahead. All he would do is just bow his head and say, Dear God. And it was like God came in that room. Dear God. See, he knew him. And God knew him. See, we think Abraham was a great man because he's called the father of faith. I acknowledge that. That's what the Bible calls him, and he's known as the father of faith. I get all of that, but you know what he is known as? The man who knew God, and God knew him. Come on, Dad, listen to me now. Can there be anything more powerful in our lives than the fact that we have something effectual, real between us and God? And when we call his name, God hears us. When we pray, people believe it when we talk to God. It's more than just words. They know that he knows God. I know him, he said. God knew Abraham personally. That knowledge comes from two sides, that he knows you and you know him. That doesn't come because you set the terms. That's because you come to God on his terms. That's salvation, accepting Christ as your Savior. You can pray all day long, but you don't have it right until you come to Christ first. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't go to God through Jesus, you don't get there. You can pray till you stain the ceiling with your prayers and you're not getting through. Dad, you need to know God. That's salvation, trusting him as your Savior. Then that you have now established the relationship with God. Now let's go forward in fellowship with him. Now God says, not only do I know Abraham and he knows me, I know him because we've walked together and we've talked together and we spent time together. That's valuable. That's precious. That's real, Dad. Got enough dads pointing their kids toward God. Well, I'll send them to church, or I'll send them to this thing, or I'll send them to that. No, you need to A, take them to it, and B, you need to have life in such a manner that your kids actually respect that what you have with God is real. You know what God saw in Abraham? He saw leadership in Abraham. Now, here's about as politically incorrect as you can get today. Look at verse 19. By the way, in case you're wondering, if you're a guest today, this is not a politically correct church, if you haven't picked up on that yet. Verse 19, for I know him that he will request of his children. What does that say in your Bible, church? What is that word right there? Amen. Say it with me one more time. What does it say? Amen. Oh, my goodness. He's one of them control freak dads. Oh, my goodness. He's going to command his children. Command, not request to live in his own household. Not ask permission from the kids. Now he's going to command, let's go now. He's going to command his children and his household after him. If you work for this man, he was in charge. Well, that Pastor Johnson, that's, you know, that prehistoric John Wayne mentality and that kind of stuff. Well, better than the Michael Jackson mentality. How about just a man who... Does that mean he goes around bossing people around? It means you can't get, real leadership doesn't give commands for people to go. They get in front of folks and command them to come this way. They give them, this is the way we're going to go. Now, you go over there, you're going to come this way. This is where we're going, and this is what we're going to do. Yeah. See, a real dad doesn't ask the family if they want to go to church. He just tells them, we're going to church on Sunday. It's really quite simple. You don't take a vote. You don't call the news and find out what they think. You're going to say, look, we're going to church today. And when the kids say, do we have to go to church? You say, nope, we get to go to church today. Here's what we're going to do. This is how we're going to go. And he's going to command his household. He's going to tell them what to do. So when Aunt Mary drops in from the last minute and decides she wants to show up on a Sunday morning, you invite Aunt Mary to go with you. And if Aunt Mary don't want to go, then just say, we'll be right here, Aunt Mary, when you come back. You wait on us. There's stuff in the fridge. We're going to church. He's going to command his household. He's going to tell them, hey, we're not watching that. Whoa, we're not going over there. Hey, we're going to do this. The average father spends less than 90 seconds a day with his children. 90 seconds. By the time a kid reaches 18 years of age in America today, he has, by the normal average amount of television watching, he has seen 100,000 beer commercials. 100,000 beer commercials by the time they're 18. And dad is spending 90 seconds a day. No wonder we got people getting involved in alcohol and liquor and stuff like that. Yeah? Truth of the matter is, dear people, listen now, we need to have dads who are willing to command their family. But command doesn't mean you go. Command is we are going this direction. This is where we're going to go, and this is what we're going to do. So the truth of the matter is, dear people, we need to learn to have orders. Young lady, please sit down.
No, ma'am.
Just go. Would you have an altar call? We will. If you'll sit down, we'll have an altar call if you sit down.
No. Somebody give me a King James Bible.
Take her out the door, guys.
I need the word.
Take her out the word.
No. I don't have one. It was stolen from me.
Go out there. That's all right. Did this just to get your attention this morning, so you can pay careful attention.
Then, as soon as I do, I need to leave because my family is murdered.
No. Take her. Go out the door, please, ma'am. We'll be glad to help.
God.
Thank you. Okay. Here we go. Democrat. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. Why do I do that? I don't know. I'll tell you what's really bad. My outline's over there, and I have no idea where I am in this message right now. Yes, I do too. Now listen to me carefully. Come on. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, now listen. The truth is, the Bible says that God spoke to Abraham and said, I know he'll command his children. He didn't tell them where to go. He took them. He showed them what to do. So by the time he has his first son, Abraham's already on the journey, on the path, headed the place he's supposed to go. Now look here. So he could tell his son, this is what we're going to do. Because you know why? Because this is what he'd been doing. See, command isn't giving orders. Command is example. Command is showing them this is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to work. Come on, Dad, listen to me. Our homes are literally the growing place for future families. Fathers being fathers and husbands doing what we're supposed to do. Wives being wives and mothers and doing what they're supposed to do. The whole thing is really pretty basic. That's why God created the family first before society came along, even before the government came to mess up everything. Now, all that came in together. Are you with me? See, we think Abraham was a great man because he was a great theologian. We have no idea what his theology was. Truth is, he came from a heathen culture, didn't know much about God till later in his life. But when he got a hold of God and God got a hold of him, this man became a great man of faith. I hope what this does this morning, gentlemen, is it challenges you to realize in your life the potential of your influence. The fact that knowing God and God knowing you is most important. And then to give instruction by your example. Solomon said it to Rehoboam, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You want their heart, you got to give them an example that's worth following. You say, well, what else about Abraham? Oh, that was about it. And then he would spend the rest of his days, Abraham, simply doing what God told him to do. Was he perfect at it? No. No, just like everybody else, every father that has ever lived, we will never get to give a perfect example. Never. May I just throw this thought in here very quickly and get off your daddy issues. You got daddy issues. Well, my dad was so-and-so, and that's why I'm so-and-so. Get off of that, would you please? You have a perfect heavenly father that you can follow, so that's okay. Now, there's no other reason to get messed up on daddy issues. So let's just follow this one this morning. Let's heed what God would have us to say and do, and let's follow that very carefully. And you know what, Abraham? He became quite a man of faith in his life. But his faith was obedience to God and doing what God told him to do and following it as best as he knew how. And that, guys, look at me, and that is what makes for the kind of father God notices. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.